Will you bow with me as we pray together? Gracious God, you continue to call to us. We hear your voice in whispers. We hear it resounding loudly at times. But may your Spirit open us to listen. But may that Spirit also give us courage and boldness to say, yes, it is I, that we might faithfully serve and follow your lead. And as we gather in this time, as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, we pray that we would continue to have the ability to hear you speaking. And by your Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So this morning we are kicking off our summer series. It's a series titled Faces of Our Faith. And there are some baskets at the back of the sanctuary. This is the study guide that we'll be using for this. The material, it's art reflections and prompts on some of the lesser-known stories throughout the Bible. And the material was originally put together in 16 lessons. We've edited it down to 8 of those lessons, and we'll have to see if you like this well enough. We may pull the other 8 out next summer or at a later time. But in this booklet, there is an index that tells you the name of the character, the scripture reference, and the date that we'll be preaching on it. The material, the nice thing about this is we know that during the summer, a lot of times people have vacations, reunions, other things that take them away from time to time. And to try and do a series where each week builds on the week before is kind of difficult, because if you miss a week, you feel a little bit out of the loop. The nice thing with this is each lesson stands alone. There's a piece of artwork that goes along with the scripture story. So the first one that will be next week, I'm doing the introduction today, that will be Lydia. So it gives a little bit of information and tells you what scripture is associated with it. It tells you a little bit of the artist's understanding of this piece. And then there are some reflection questions and place for you to kind of journal your thoughts on that. So the good thing is that if you're not here, you can still enjoy the artwork, read the scripture, do the reflection. If you really want to hear the sermon, we try to get them online every week. Occasionally we have a technical difficulty and may not get the recording, but those are available as well. So we hope that you'll participate with those. We also will be having a study group that will meet on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. We'll meet in the parlor, and so we'll actually be talking about the character that will be preached on the following Sunday. So the discussion's actually going to happen a week ahead of time. Between Jen and I, whoever's going to be preaching that following Sunday, we're planning on that being the person leading the discussion group, because we might be able to glean from some of your thoughts and insights to incorporate into our sermon. So we might even say, hey, you've got some good ideas. You want to get up next week? No, I don't want to deter you. So those are available back there. We are, you know, if you want one for yourself, or if you're as a couple, you just want to work on it together, take what you feel that you need for your family and use those. But this morning, as we kick it off, and the first chapter in here is a very brief one. It's just a couple of little boxes. And while the series is titled Faces of Our Faith, the first lesson that you can work on is titled Faces of My Faith. And it says it's a personal reflection. And so you think about those faces, those people in your life who have been a part of your faith story, and you reflect upon that a little bit, because what we're going to do is build this bigger picture of all of these people. So I wanted to share with you a little bit of the faces of my faith. And I wanted to begin by saying our text this morning was that story of that paralytic that his friends wanted to bring him to Jesus because they knew that Jesus had the answer. And I think that for many people, our story of faith is much like that paralytic man, that there were people around him and there are people that were around us in our lives who thought, you know what, we really think getting to know Jesus would be important in your life. And we see that for this paralytic man, the faces of his faith were first and foremost Jesus, who gave him this great gift. This man who was paralyzed was given the gift of mobility. And so Jesus' face, I think, is often the primary face. But those four friends, each of those faces, have to be permanently ingrained in that man's mind. Those four people that cared enough about him to not only pick him up and carry him on a blanket, but somehow get him onto the roof of a house to rip open that roof and lower him into the room where Jesus was. Now, having said that, we've got a lot of positive faces in our faith, but we also need to acknowledge that the faces of those Pharisees that stood condemning Jesus for giving this man the greatest gift he'd ever received probably left a little bit of an impact as well. But we hope that those did not overshadow the faces of those who cared for him and loved him and were willing to do whatever it took to bring him to Jesus. And there are other stories that we could look at in Scripture that talk about how people come to faith. There's a story of John the Baptist's disciples who are following Jesus along, curious, wanting to know, wanting to hear more, and Jesus turns and says, "Come and see." That invitation is there. We have Zacchaeus, who was so curious about Jesus that he climbed a tree just to get a glimpse of him as he walked past. If we look back in Deuteronomy, in the text that's called the Shema, where it's the prayer of, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one," it talks about parents. When you're out walking down the roads, when you're at home, when you're in all of these places, teach these things to your children. Instruct them. Write them upon your foreheads. Put them on the doorpost of your homes. Instruct people in what your faith is. There are a lot of stories that we could point to. And every one of us may have a little bit different understanding of what it is. But I share with you a little bit of my story. If you have a cell phone, if you have a social media account, you've probably seen these on websites. It's a picture placeholder. Until someone uploads a profile picture or something like that, you'll see one of these pictures. Who are those faces that you would begin filling in your life? Because it's probably not just one face. There's probably a couple faces. In fact, it's probably a bunch of them. Of all of those faces, all of those people who have in some way touched your life and helped you to know what it means to be a Christian. There are a lot of those people that you probably know extremely well. There are a lot of those people who have lapsed out of your memory that you don't even remember. The lady that served the Kool-Aid and cookies at Vacation Bible School. The pastor that preached a sermon that really stuck with you. Maybe the person that baptized you, but you were so young you don't really remember who it was. All of these are part of that story of our faith. For me, many of my earliest memories of faith are from that church. Robinson Chapel United Methodist Church is just north of Fort Wayne. It's the church that my grandparents were married in, the church where my father was baptized, the church where I had all kinds of meals in the little fellowship hall in the basement of that church. But it also is where many of my earliest memories of faith come from. Growing up, my family didn't really start going to church until I was probably preschool age. But we did go with Grandma and Grandpa at times. That's Grandma and Grandpa, Morris and Cleo Ream. Grandpa passed away in 94, and Grandma passed away in 2004. Grandpa always was working on a project around the church. We've got some people here that do those things. Grandma was always in the kitchen there when they needed something done. Even in her later years, Grandma's vision began to fail her. But she had spent so many years singing in the church choir that when they would come and do services at the nursing home, she could sing every hymn. And I'm not just talking the first verse. All of the hymns. I was convinced she had the whole hymnal committed to memory, and the same thing with Scripture. Somebody'd mention a passage, and she could get pretty close to chapter and verse of where it was. She was ahead of me in that. I depend on my computer far too much. Prayers at meals around Grandma and Grandpa's kitchen table, and just watching how they live their faith out was important. As a kid, I often went with Grandpa and helped with some of those projects, and one of them I ran across going past that church a few years ago. That big rock that's sitting there, I was probably 7 or 8 when we drug that rock on a sheet of metal several miles from his farm to the church. And I happened to go by, and we were there going past, and I saw that plaque on it. I didn't remember that. I remember taking the rock, but I didn't remember till afterwards. I don't even know who put it up there, but they call it Morris's Rock. And it says this rock was placed here by Morris Ream to help us to have faith and remember that just because something is said to be impossible does not mean that it cannot be done. This was the man that I grew up working next to on the farm and doing things that in my childhood mind seemed impossible. But for this man, it didn't matter. You just had to figure out the way to do it. And when it came to moving things on the farm, you just needed a long enough lever to get it off the ground. These are my other grandparents, Tom and Pat Henry. My grandfather was a World War II veteran. He has 2 Purple Hearts from Iwo Jima. My grandparents didn't necessarily grow up or they weren't Christians for most of their lives. My mom was, because she went to church with some neighbors, but Grandma and Grandpa really, it wasn't important in their life. Grandpa passed away in 2004, and Grandma's still living. She's 86 years old now. That picture's from a few years ago. They, probably in their 50s, had a conversion experience in their lives. Our family went to church. My aunt and uncle went to church. Grandma and Grandpa didn't. And as a child, suddenly, Grandma and Grandpa are going to church. And in fact, I remember being at both of their baptisms. And so watching how God worked in their lives and moved and brought them to faith in a way that they became very involved in their church. And Grandpa had served as the treasurer at their church for a number of years. And my grandmother still goes there and is very involved. And I think, I don't know if she's backed off, she was attending 3 or 4 Bible studies a week. And so watching how their faith blossomed and grew was part of that story for me. Well, then there are other people in my life. I mean, I've mentioned family. My grandparents were a significant part of that. This guy, John Woolsey, was my youth leader from the time I was in junior high through high school and even beyond. John was the guy that kind of taught me what it was to be a Christian, because every Sunday night, as an unpaid volunteer, he was there. And he got to know me. And he'd show up at my wrestling meets every once in a while. And John was an engineer, and that's what I thought I was going to Purdue to do initially, and he encouraged me in that. And even as a freshman at Purdue, he came down with some of the other youth to visit me. And I think from John I learned a lot about how to pray. And I'll have to confess that as a part of the youth group, we had a lot of fun and goofing around as a youth group, and he was there and supported us in that. I keep in touch with John just through Facebook now, and so that's a picture of the past a little bit, but yet it's someone who still helped me to be who I am. These little kids, that's Melissa and I, 23 years ago. We grew up at the same church. We didn't really know each other much. Melissa was a year ahead of me, and we went to a church where I think we had 7 different high schools represented in our youth group. So people didn't necessarily all go to school together. But being a year ahead of me, my senior year, Melissa started teaching the junior high youth at her church. When I graduated from high school and in my second year of college, I started leading the 6th grade group. And we kind of overlapped, and in a lot of ways, our faith journey kind of paralleled one another. And we were involved in doing many of the same things. And so in many ways, Melissa has encouraged me in my faith walk of who I am. And that motley crew, I include them because there are a lot of things that I learn about what's important to me, a lot of things I learn about my faith, of how to convey it, how to share it, how to speak it, and even the insights and the questions that children ask have challenged me and helped me to move forward in my faith and be a stronger Christian. And there are so many more faces that I could put up here. The list could grow and grow and grow because I've had so many people in my life in so many ways. As I mentioned, some of those unnamed people that were there and taught Sunday school classes. Those people that were there and did things behind the scenes that you often, until you really get involved in the life of a church, that you're unaware of. So who are the people in your life? Who are those people that you would begin naming and saying, you know what, they're a significant part of who I am? The United Methodist Church of the Resurrection in Leeswood, Kansas, is the largest United Methodist church in the country. Adam Hamilton is the pastor, founding pastor of that church, and he's been the pastor there, I believe, 25 years. Huge sanctuary. I think it seats 3,500 people. They recently installed a stained glass window in their church. It's part of a $93 million renovation project. The stained glass window, and we use the term window loosely because it's enormous, $3.5 million. And I know sometimes think, boy, that's a lot of money to spend on a window. But I think for this church, and for me as I think about it, you can't see it well. But this stained glass window is 37 feet tall and 100 feet wide. To put that in perspective for us, I paced it off this morning. From the back doors to the front of the altar is about 100 feet. So it wouldn't fit inside our sanctuary. Our ceiling might be high enough. It's probably closer to 40 feet or plus to the top of our ceiling. Huge stained glass window. And the thing about this window is that it really, to me, captures what I'm talking about this morning of those faces of our faith. Because I've named personal people, I've known those people in my life, but really the faces of our faith encompass the body of Christ. And Christ is first and foremost in there. But in that panel, and I'm hoping I sometime get an opportunity to see it at their church, on the left side of the panel, it depicts Adam and Eve. And then it goes through and it features a number of Old Testament characters. Because those are faces of our faith as well. Maybe we've not seen them, but we know their stories. And those faces are a part of who we are as people of faith. This series that we're going to be going through is going to look at some of those maybe lesser known people and what we have to learn from them and how they're a part of our faith story. As you get in around Jesus and around the cross, there are stories from his life and ministry. The disciples are depicted, his birth, the empty tomb. And then the larger portion on the right-hand side of that picture feature all kinds of Christians who have come since Jesus. Leaders of the church like Augustine, John Wesley, up to more contemporary, C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham is depicted in there, Mother Teresa, Rosa Parks. There's a young man who's depicted in there who was a member of the Church of the Resurrection. He passed away when he was 21 years old. He had a congenital disorder. And he was the inspiration for a ministry that the Church of the Resurrection started to disabled people. He couldn't speak. He was wheelchair bound. And again, I'm not exactly sure where he's at in the picture, but he's depicted reading to a young girl. He was never able to speak, but yet, because of Christ, they wanted him depicted doing something that he was not able to do in this life. Those faces of our faith may be icons and pillars that we read about in the scriptures, like Moses and David or Jesus or Paul, or they could be people that we know. They could be people that we've met, people that we've read, people that we have sat and shared a cup of coffee with. The faces of our faith are an important part of who we are. They've helped us to grow. They've helped us to learn. And as we think about that role that people have played in our lives, we also need to consider those opportunities when we've been the person who stood up and said, "It is I, Lord." And we've gone into those situations and those circumstances to do things where we become the face of someone else's faith. Jen shared with you this morning, there are 23 of you who have said yes to helping with Vacation Bible School in one way or another. And I am thrilled to hear that there will be that many of us there. We've got some work to do. If you have kids in your life, grandchildren, neighbors, friends, kids, invite them. Because we've got enough people that we want to keep everybody busy. And this is one of the perfect examples of the ways in which we say, "It is I, Lord," and we step forward to be that face for someone else. I've been blessed. I hope that you have too, by the people that I've known, the people who have helped me to grow and to learn and to know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And may that process, may that journey, may that story not end with us, but continue to the next generation and beyond, because we will be the faces. Amen.